pieces? Two long pieces today. Or Chaim HaKadosh, Parsha Sav, Tafshin Ayin Zayin, the year that Mashiach is going to arrive. Okay, please take a look on page Lamed Gimel. Uvederech Remes. We have two very long pieces. They're not Pashut. They're not Pashut on a couple levels. But I think you'll be very inspired by these two pieces of Torah. First, let's read the Psukim. The Psukim say, Vayadaber Hashem al Moshe Lemur. Tzav es Aaron ves Banov Lemur. Zos Torah Ha'ola. Hi Ha'ola. Al Mokta al Mizbeach Cholalayla Araboker Ve'isha Mizbeach Tukad Bo. Tell Aaron and his sons that this is the law of the Karban Ola. It is the Karban Ola that stays al Mokta. Al Mokta means upon the flame. Al Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach. All night until the morning. And the fire of the Mizbeach should never be extinguished. Ve'isha Mizbeach Tukad Bo. Right, the fire of the Mizbeach should continue to burn. The Kohen has to wear big de kahuna. He should put on his fitted linen tunic and the pants, which are also made out of bad, out of linen. He should wear it on his flesh. Trumas hadeshen. The Kohen has the responsibility to remove the ashes from the Mizbeach, from the previously consumed karbanos, v'samo etzal mizbeach, and he places those ashes alongside the mizbeach. That's called trumas hadeshen. Ufashadas begadav v'levash begadim acherim. He changes his clothing. V'hotzi hadeshen amichutz l'machra. And then there's an additional commandment of hotzas hadeshen. I mean, I can't just keep taking the ashes off of the mizbeach and piling it next to the mizbeach. Eventually, I'm gonna have to get them out of there. So there's a mitzvah of hotzas hadeshen, where I don't just take a scoop, but I actually clean off and get rid of the deshen, all of the ashes, chutz l'machana, and I take it to a makom tahor. And the fire of the mizbeach should continue to burn. It should not be extinguished. Okay? So the mitzvah of setting up the Mizbeach, the mitzvah of burning things on the Mizbeach, the mitzvah of the begadim that are worn for Truma Sadeshin and Hotzah Sadeshin. This is the first parsha in the parsha, the first paragraph of Psukim in the parsha. Chumash Vayikra is very hard to find inspiration in on the surface, and that's why the Or HaChaim sends most of the parsha, again, like he did in last week's parsha, dealing with the halacha. Dealing with the Medrash Toras Kohanim and trying to make sense of these psukim in a halachic sense. But there's two longer pieces in the parsha, the first one in particular, where the Rachaim really, really speaks B'derach Remez to the heart of a Jew, and there's no better time to learn this piece than right before Pesach. Because the Rachaim HaKadosh talks about the struggles of Galus and the possibility of Geula. He explains all the phrases we just read, B'derach Remez. Okay, so let's take a look. Uvederech Remes. Again, officially it's placed here in Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. But he's really commenting on all of these opening psukim from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Hay. Uvederech Remes, Tirmos kol parsha al Golus Ha'achron Sha'anu Bo. It could be that the Torah was predicting Mirosh, that there's going to be Golus. And there's even going to be the Galus that we're experiencing right now. And you'll see, he talks very specifically about some of our oppressors in this final Galus. L'nachameinu mi'itzvo nafshenu. To give us chizuk. Rechaim wrote this. When did Rechaim pass away? When did he pass away?
1700s.
Yeah? 1743. Okay, he came to Yerushalayim, I think, in 1742, towards the end of his life. But you'll see, he's going to talk about the year 1740 as a year for Geula. Okay, so let's see. Yes. What is he? He's buried? No, he's not buried in Tzfat. Israel, where is he buried? In a very dangerous part of Yerushalayim. But Israel went there with Mesiras Nefesh. And he had the Shmira. But our Rebbe's not going to look out for his Talmud. He's a Talmud of the Rechaim HaKadosh the whole year. He's going to have trouble getting to his Rebbe. Nothing's going to stop Israel from getting to his Rebbe. Here, I have the picture. Here you go. You took this picture, Israel?
Yeah.
This is Israel's picture. Okay, we should all be zochet to go on a class trip. Could be. Makes sense. Okay, so the psukim are coming to mechazik us, knowing that there's going to be a very long and difficult galus. Ki kol ish Yisrael. It's a long piece. So if we lose our spot, it's really hard to find it. So just keep your finger on the place and let's go. Ki kol ish Yisrael me ana hinachim nafsho beraos orech hagalus. From where can a Jew draw nechama when he sees the lengthening of this galus? Nira lemi dome. He says, already in my time, to what is this galus? How long has it been already? He dates this piece. He says, Mitzrayim was 400 years. Bavel was Ayin, was 70 years. Lishneyam Yachad, 470 years. So you take Mitzrayim plus Bavel, that's only 470 years. And you can imagine, that was pretty rough. V'hein hayom elef v'tof resh ayin beiz ma'ayachel od. And for us, it's been 1,672 years. It's much more than Bavel and Mitzrayim combined. Four times over. And how much more can we hope? How much more can we long for redemption? How much more can we take? V'lo galus levad. And I'm not just talking about being exiled from our homeland. I'm talking about 1,600 plus years of oppression, he says. Ela inui mea umos, ki kol goyim amlacha b'vnei Yisrael yavodu. I'm talking about being subjugated by the nations of the world. Not just being kicked around from one place to another, not having a place to call home, but by being afflicted. That every nation makes us their slaves, makes us their servants, charges us taxes, beats us up. Vasher ze yisoviv chashov lo tov. Kisvas emes lo hukra b'chonenes v'aricha l'shon sheker. Uva atzofe umabit atzof kol adoros korei hadoros meirosh va'odia lemosha lezariz liyisrael. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu is not one to do things which aren't good in a way that they can't be handled. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu is tzofe umabit meirosh. Hashem looked out from the starting point. And Hashem looked to all the future generations. He looked at us. And he saw our suffering and our difficulties. And he told Moshe, in a concealed way, what's being hinted to in these psukim. Again, on a pshat level, he's telling Moshe, there's something called the Mishkan, and there's something called Truma Sadeshen, and there's something called the Karban Ola. But on a deeper level, what he's saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is, Be Machazik Klal Yisrael. Every phrase in these psukim is a word of chizik to Klal Yisrael. Uverosham b'nei Torah. And first and foremost, Moshe tzav es Aaron ves banav, be mechazik the Bnei Torah, that they should be ones who mechazik others. So the tzaddik ador Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, go tell Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, the teachers of Torah, be mechazik them, that they should be able to mechazik Klal Yisrael. Siv se kohen asher Torah yevakshu mipi, like the Navi says, the lips of the kohen, the one who transmits Torah to the masses, Aaron ubanav. Let the future generations know. The Rechaim says, I'm writing this 1,672 years into the Galus. However, we're holding more than 1,900 years into the Galus. And the end is not to our physical eyes and sight. So what's the chizuk that Moshe gave to Aaron Ubanov, and Aaron Ubanov is giving to us by way of, again, the tzaddik of our generation, of his time, the Rechaim HaKadosh. First and foremost, Zos Toras Ha'ola. The first thing you need to know, says the Pasuk, Zos Toras Ha'ola. Who is the one who's going to rise up? The Jew who's always crushed and trampled and downtrodden. But the one who's really going to rise up in a way that's going to last, this is the story of the Ola. The one who's truly going to rise up, Sof Kol Sof. Amar Zos Lema'it Kol Ha'alios She'in Kama Ola. Not like the other world powers that rose up for a period of time. Communist Russia. Did anyone think it would ever collapse? Mitzrayim. Rome. Greece. You go through all the great powers. The Nazis. Yimach Shemam V'Zichra. Right? These world powers that no one ever thought they could be toppled. And yet, says the Pasuk so clearly, Zos, what we're about to describe, the Jewish people. Torah Sa'ola. Torah. What does Torah mean? Remember we pointed out in the past, Rashi and Chulin, Torah means nitzchias, permanence. Not Divrei Kabbalah, short-lived. Torah means something that lasts forever. So who's the old one that's going to last forever? Who's the one who's going to rise up when all the other nations have crumbled and fallen? Who's the nation that's going to rise and emerge? It's Klal Yisrael. The Chazru Perish Mihi Zos. This is the story of the one who truly rises up. So who is that? I mean, we're jumping on it saying it's us. But how does the Torah identify the one who's going to rise up and outlast all the other nations? Mihi Zos. Who is the one being described here? Says the Pasuk, He Ha'ola. Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the story of the one who will rise up. He Ha'ola. The one who has risen. What does that mean? The one who will rise. What does that mean? He Ha'ola Kvar. Dichsiv, Mizos Ola Min HaMidbar. Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the one. This is the story of the Ola. Who? Which Ola? Says the Pasuk, He Ha'ola. The one who just emerged. Klal Yisrael, as you're coming out of Mitzrayim. And for a moment you do feel like you're on top of the world. You just emerged over the world power. Mitzrayim, the root of all Golis. Well, guess what? Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the entire story of Ola. He Ola, the one who just emerged. Like it says in Shir HaShirim, Mi Zos Ola Min HaMidbar. Who is the one who's coming up? Who's the one who's rising up through the Midbar? Klal Yisrael. Good. So be mechazik yourself. When you find yourself in Golis Bavel, say, Mizos Ola Min HaMidbar. We're going to rise up again. When you find yourself at the hands of an Achashverosh and a Haman, remind yourselves, He Ha'ola, I'm the one who's going to rise up. When you find yourself in the hands of Yavan, and Torah is hanging in the balance, you're afraid that Torah could be lost, don't worry, it's going to lead to a reboy of Torah, Golis Yavan. And when you find yourself in Golis Edom, the darkest and longest Golis, the Golis that's coupled, the Golis we're in right now, coupled with Golis Yishmael, with Islam, and everything that they've done to the world, right? Remind yourself, He Ha'ola. He Ha'ola. I'm the one who rose up originally over Mitzrayim, the root of all Golis, and therefore I will continuously rise over all of exile. Why? That's nice. That's great. Fact. We're going to win. Why? Why? Why do we win? Says the Pasuk, Al-Mokta, Al-Mizbeach. Two reasons we're going to win. Al-Mokta, Al-Mizbeach. Al-Mokta means upon the fire, and Al-Mizbeach means upon the altar. What does that mean? Heim beis pratim sha'anu b'hem. These are two things which are found by Klal Yisrael. One, ha'alef, ha'echad. Sha'anu b'nei Torah b'asha'ein b'chol ha'umos. We have something that lasts forever, and that allows us to last forever. What is that? The Torah. We took the Torah to the exclusion of the nations. Second of all, ha'beis. Sha'anu miyusarim b'galus v'yisurin v'dalus. Second of all, we've taken the biggest beating. No one's been the punching bag of mankind more than the Jewish people throughout history. You take our collective suffering, and it's astronomical. And you know what? It's because of our willingness to suffer and to stay in the game, to keep trying. Like we've said in the past, the name of the Jewish people, Yisrael Kisarisa. Kisarisa. Because we fought against the Malach. Vatuchal, and we won. Says Rav Leib Eger, shouldn't our name be Vatuchal, that we won? That's not what defines a Jew. Kisarisa, it's the struggle. Yisrael, the willingness to fight. The willingness to take a beating and to pick yourselves up. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. To get knocked down again and again and again, and to keep fighting back. Says the Rachayim HaKadosh, that's al-mokta, al-mizbeach. Al-mokta, keneged Torah, amr al-mokta, shenim shala Torah le'esh. First of all, a Jew is al-mokta. Literally, on the fire. Or maybe, better said, on fire. He is on fire. Why are we on fire? The Torah. Hashem says, my words are fire. So a Jew has Torah, so a Jew is a fire. The Gemara says in Maseches Tanis, if you meet a Jew who's a fiery Jew, and you're wondering, where does he get his fire from? Where does he get that brand from? He gets it from Torah. If you meet a young Talmudic scholar, and he's rasach, he's boiling, he's feisty, where does he get it from? Oraisa. He went to yeshiva oraita. Or, another pshat, or he learned Torah in any yeshiva. Oraisa. Yeah? He got it from Torah. The fire of Torah? Okay, good. Yeah? The fire of Torah. What's al hamizbeach? Al mokta, a person's on fire from Torah. Al hamizbeach means what? Trevor, what does Al Mizbeach mean? What's the second thing that sets us apart? The suffering. Al Mizbeach. Al Mizbeach. Ukeneged ha-golus va-anafav amar Al Mizbeach. Ki ha-yisurin misyachis lahem shem Mizbeach liosam kapara. We call Yisurim, the Gemara in Brachos refers to Yisurim as what? As a Mizbeach kapara. Suffering is like what? An altar of kapara, of atonement. Every time you suffer, it brings atonement. So realize, on those really rough days, realize, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, for the mara of my life. Like we spoke about yesterday. Right? Like when Rav Shlomo of Kaminka lost his child, and he said, give me a strong glass of wine. A wine that's not easily appreciated. Suffering is not easily appreciated, but it makes us bigger people. It brings kapara to a Jew. And it's not in vain. We don't suffer in vain. So because of our connection to the fire of Torah, Al-Mokta, and because of our offerings on the Mizbeach, namely our lives and the suffering we've endured, because of that, Hiya Ola, we're going to emerge. Vodia Kosov ki b'emtzo is the basis of our. Because of these two things, Tiya Aliosenu Muedes Behaflagos Hamulos Mishunos, the Shevach Shvacha Mesher Lo Hayav Lo Yehya. And because of that, the Jewish people will again be set apart in a remarkable way, in a way that's beyond description, right? Praises that never were and never will be in a unique way. But again, we have to stick it out. We have to keep learning Torah amidst the suffering in order to get to this geula that he's describing. Okay? Now, when is all this taking place? When is Al Mokta Al Mizbeach? What does the pasuk say? Kol Halayla. Kol Halayla. This one's easy to darshan. Ubeir Ad Masayu Yisrael Begeder Bezvar Meilu. For how long will we need to continue to march on with these two things, suffering yet, at the same time clinging to the fire of Torah? Kol Halayla. Shehu Zman HaGolus, Hanimshal HaLayla. Golus is compared to what? To Layla, tonight. Shomer Ma Milayla. The pasuk that speaks of the longing, the hope of the redemption, right? The person has to guard the night, has to sit it out through the night, till Asa Boker. V'chein HaPasuk Lini HaLayla, Darshu Chazal HaGolus. Chazal associate Golus with night. Ad HaBoker, until the morning. Now, look what he says here. It's not easy, this next little part. Not easy to put together the numbers and to follow what he's saying. But he's basically telling us, living in the late 1600s, early 1700s, again, he passed away in 1743, came up to Yerushalayim after the year 1740, because 1740, in the Archaim's mind, was a year of Mashiach. It was a very likely time for Mashiach, as he's about to describe.
Just the Archaim?
There were other tzaddikim we spoke about that also, but look what the cheshbon is. Okay, look what the chesed is. But it's always interesting when tzaddikim are talking about the possibility of redemption, and it's centered around their own lives. Right? I mean, you look in the for example, the Rambam Zigeres Teiman. Even though the Rambam is Eish Lahava against predicting, he's very strong. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The bones of one who predicts the arrival of Mashiach should rot. We don't offer dates. We don't offer specific dates. And then, lo and behold, the Rambam, when the Mishnah Torah is speaking so strongly against predicting, and Igeres Teiman says, oh, by the way, I have a family tradition that in the year 12, 15, 19, 13, I don't remember, right? Mashiach's going to come. That's right around when he's living. So the Sfarim explained, yes, the Rambam, A, had a family tradition. B, he needed the dates often give chizik to us to at least take the next step. So the Archaim, who's living himself under tremendous oppression that he's going to describe, looks to the date 1740, which is very much the end of his own lifetime, you know, after a life of hope, right? He's hoping that 1740 will bring the Gula, and he only lived a couple of years after that. He came to Yerushalayim shortly thereafter, again, hoping to be there to greet Mashiach, and he wasn't zochet to see it with his own eyes. But he knows that there were people in the 1600s, and in the 1500s, and in the 1400s, and in the 1300s, who were also living with the hope that they're on the cusp of Gula. So look what he writes. We're waiting, we're hoping for that time that Hashem is going to pour out His kavod upon us, namely to be Megal Himself to the world, and bring Mashiach. And the time for Mashiach, I believe, is after 500 years of the 6th millennium. Meaning what? From the year 5500, by the Jewish calendar, that's when I believe the time for Mashiach is. 5500, the midway point of the 6th millennium of the Jewish calendar, 5500 translates into the year 1740. So he's about to explain to us why he thinks 1740 is the time for Mashiach. Okay, and again, that's mamash. That's when he's living. That's when this is happening. Sure. Let's go over Jewish history for a second. When did we leave Mitzrayim? What year did we leave Mitzrayim?
2448.
Okay, let's write these dates down. We left Mitzrayim in 2448. Good. How many years after leaving Mitzrayim was the first Beis Hamikdash built? It's a pasuk in Navi, which is helpful. The pasuk says in Malachim, I think it's the first pasuk in Parag Vav. I happen to have a full Tanakh here, so hold on one second. The pasuk says. The pasuk says. Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. In the 480th year after the children of Israel's exodus from the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month. What month is Ziv?
Iyar.
What's the second month?
Iyar.
Yeah? Which is the second month, he built the temple for Hashem. Okay? So in the month of Iyar, 480 years after Lef Mitzrayim, the first temple was built. So 2448 plus what? Plus 480. When was Bayis Rishon built? 2928. 2928 was Bayis Rishon. How long did Bayis Rishon last? 410 years. So Chorban Bayis Rishon is 3338. Okay? Yeah? 70 years of Gullus in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So it means Bayis Sheni, according to this calculation, is built in 3408. 3408. And that lasted 420 years. So that means Chorban Bayis Sheni was when? 3828. Is Chorban Bayis Sheni. 3828. We're in the year Tavshin Ayin Zayin. So how many years has it been since Chorban Bayis Sheni? I don't like when people round up on Tisha B'Av. We don't need extra years of Gullus. Thank you very much. So how many years has it been? People say it's been nearly 2,000 years.
Nope.
We don't need to push it. It's been 1,949 years since Chorban Bayis Sheni.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Nowhere near 2,000.
It's been 1,949 years since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. That's where we're holding right now. Tavshin Ayin Zayin. When is the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writing this? So he said it's 1,672 years since the Chorban. That's what he said, remember? He said Mitzrayim in Bava was only 470 years. We're already 1,672 years into it. So when is he writing this? So take 3828. That's Chorban Bayis Sheni, plus 1672 equals 5,500. So when is the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writing this? In the year 1740. Okay? So in case you were curious, did the Orach Chaim HaKadosh write his commentary when he was a young man? Did he write it towards the end of his life? Well, we know for sure that this comment in Parsha Sav he wrote when? 3 years before he passed away. He's writing this in the year 5,500. In the year 1740. And he's about to describe why he thinks the year 1740 is a very ripe time for Mashiach. Take a look. It's beautiful. Look what he says. Yeah. Tav Kuf is 550. Tav Kuf in Gematria is 550. So he's saying 550 years into Elef Hashishi. 500 years past the year 5000. So 5,500. Yeah. Right, so that's the sixth period of 1,000 years starts after the year 5,000. Okay? So take a look. So he says, we're waiting for the Boker. Now, when does he think the Boker is going to be? Again, it's been a long Lila, but he says, I think the Boker is going to be in the year after Tav Kuf Le'elef Hashishi. Right? After the midway point of the sixth thousandth period of time. From the year 5500 and on is when I believe Mashiach is going to arrive. Now again, he's not going to say Mashiach is coming in the 1600s because that's already passed. Jews who are living in the 1600s have to make a cheshbon to make Mashiach come in the 1600s. But he's looking at his time. He knows his life is getting towards its end, and he says, I have to believe that Mashiach is coming for me. So that's what he says. Why does he say the year 5500? Lefi ma shekodem lanu midivreim zav. Ki yomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu elef shana. What's for us a day, or sorry, what for Hashem is a day is for us 1,000 years. Yeah? That's based on a pasuk and the Medrash elaborates on it. That what for us seems like 1,000 years, for Hashem is a day. U'me'aseichel yihiyu tof kuf rishona midas laila v'tof kuf shnia midas yom. So when we enter into that final 1,000 years of time, it makes sense, he says, the same way that our day is divided, half day, half night. By the Jewish calendar, night precedes day. So also, I'll divide that last 1,000 year period into 2 halves. The first half we'll call night, the second half we'll call day. Which means that from the year 5500 and on, the year 1740, by the secular calendar, it's time for the daylight to arrive. It's time for Mashiach to arrive. V'hodiya Hashem, I'll take your comment in a second. V'hodiya Hashem, ki ad ha-boker, ki kishiyigmur taf kufshana begalas ad ha-boker, shiye ha-aliyah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing to us that again, we have to continue to hold on to these things throughout the night, kol ha-layla, Torah and suffering. But now we're going to transition. U'boker zeh ein ani yodeya, im boker shel elef ha-hei, o bakro shel elef ha-vav. Ki be'elef ha-dalid gala kvod Yisrael ba'akevo. What's he saying? What's he saying here? He's saying the following. He's saying, I don't know when the boker is going to come. He says that there's a night and then there's a day. Every 1,000 year period, he says, is considered a day in God's mind. So maybe Mashiach is going to come when? In 4500. Why are you saying 5500? Well, that's when he's living. That's why he's saying it. But he said, when was the bias destroyed? When was the bias destroyed? In the fourth millennium, right? Towards the end of the fourth. When? What year did we say? 3828, which is how many years before the end of the fourth millennia? 172. So that's what he says. That's what he's saying here. Ki be'elef hadalid, at the end of, right? At the end of the fourth thousandth period of time, gala kvod Yisrael ba'akevo. So at the Akev of the fourth millennia, the Jews were exiled. Akev, what's the match of Akev? 172. So he's saying in the year 3828, he's saying, is when we last had the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And after that, we began the new Boker, the possibility of a new day. A period of darkness, followed by hopefully a period of light. So that means the year 4500 would have been just as good as what? As what now I'm saying, or Chaim says, 5500. But we didn't pull it off in 4500. We didn't pull it off in the year 740, according to the English calendar. So now we're looking at 1740, says the Rachaim HaKadosh. We're trying again. We didn't pull it off in the fifth day, so to speak, so now we're looking at the sixth day. And we're dividing it, the first 500 years are what? Are bad, and the next 500 years are boker. That's what he's saying here. Okay? L'zeh gila Hashem sodo, b'yad avadav ha-neviyim, kihu l'boker beiz. There are two bokers. If you missed the first morning, if you didn't bring the gula in 4500 by the Jewish calendar, try to bring it by 5500. However, now we're sitting here in 5777. So we're really dragging our feet. We're dragging our feet here. But again, you start to see around this year, 1740, you start to see sparks of light. I guess those of us who at least are more Hasidically inclined. Right? The Torah of Baal Shem Tov is the light of Mashiach. Is the light of Mashiach. So he's correct in saying that the light is going to start shining. On the one hand, you're saying, what do you mean? The world's getting darker and darker and darker. But a Jew with a Pnimius perspective understands that there is a kiner mitzvah Torah or. There's never been Torah like there's Torah that's existed in our times. There's never been Torah that's like the Torah that's emerged since the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim started bringing a new light to the world. Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, a new light in the world. Yeah.
So So just going back to the way the Rechaim is making his Hashanah, there are 1,000 each day.
So every, right, so Hashem's
1,000 years.
Shabbos, Yom Shekulo Shabbos, right, is Mashiach. 7,000. We get to 6,000, then Shabbos begins. At the end of Friday.
When Shabbos begin at 6,500?
No. Shabbos begins at night.
But it would begin Friday night. And the seven...
The day ends. The day ends at the end of every thousand. Right, the first 500 of every thousand period is night, and the next 500 is day.
But why wouldn't the 6,000 be Friday?
6,000? No, we complete. We've completed. We say 6,000 means we've completed 6,000. We've completed 6 days.
And when you turn 6 years old,
but we haven't even.
So now we start Shabbos. The year 6,000. By 6,000, we have to start Shabbos.
Okay, fine.
That's the Gemara's Cheshvan.
So can I ask one question?
Yeah.
So is there an idea that when Hashem created the 7 days, each day was connected, like what would go on for that 1,000 years?
Yes, 100%. The Vilna Gaon talks about it. Yes, and it corresponds to the Parshios, which is why the Holocaust took place in Parshios Kisavo. In the Tochacha. The Tochacha of the Torah, yeah, in the fifth book of the Torah, took place exactly when the Tochacha was taking place on planet Earth. So where are we now? What parsha are we in? We're in the Tzavim Vayelech now. We're in Parshios of Tshuva. We're in Parshios of Tshuva. Kiseitze, Kisavo.
Every 1,000 years,
the
first 1,000 years were bridges.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
No, the first 1,000 years is not even on the books. Shavuos is 2,000. Vayikra is 3,000. No, I'm sorry, that's not right, I'm sorry. There's 5 books of Torah, and there's 6,000 years of creation, right? So, Bereshis is the first thousand. Bereshis is... No, 0 to 1,000 is nothing. 1,000 to 2,000 is Bereshis. 2,000 to 3,000 is Shemos. 3,000 to 4,000 is Vayikra. 4,000 to 5,000 is Bamidbar. And 5,000 to 6,000 is Chumash Devar. So we're in five...
We're three quarters of the way there.
So we're finishing up Chumash Devar now.
Whatever book we're in, just add 3 zeros to that.
No, because the Bereish doesn't count.
Yeah,
and every 100 years is a Parsha. Every 100 years is a Parsha.
1,000 to 2,000.
Thank you. Okay?
The first book, so it's in the hundreds.
The second count, Bereish,
and the Holocaust happened on Parshas.
So the Vilna Gaon talks about, see, Chumash Devar, you have to also know how many Parshios are in Devar. Devarim, Veschanan, Eke, Re'e, Shoftim, Kiteitze, Kisavo, Nitzavim, Vayelech. We view them as combined. Hazinu is also Bracha. So each of those correspond to 100 years. Okay, so we're somewhere in Nitzavim, Vayelech now.
When did the evidence roll? Is it in Vayikra?
We're right
in
the
Tocha,
we're like in the fifth
Aliyah
of
Kitab.
Is it in Bar Midbar?
No, the Ibn Ezra lived in Devar.
It was 100 years.
We're in the
7th
part.
What part of
Devar?
Was it still
in?
I don't know. Okay, so
you
can work on this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but this is found in the writings of the Gaon. If you want me to direct you to it, I can show you where it's in the writings of the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter talks about it in his farm as well. And he talks about again, the Holocaust taking place in the time that corresponds to the Pesukah of the Holocaust, the Tshuva Revolution, which is an ongoing thing that's happening in our world today, taking place. And also, again, what other Pesukim do we have in the Tzom Vayela? Hester Panim. Right? Hester Panim. We're living through what the Pesuk says. Don't be surprised. People say, oh, you know, why is God so hidden in the world today? Because he told you in his Torah that Anochi Hester Aster Panai, and he lined it up with this time period. So what do you want? It's on the books. It's not a surprise. None of this is a surprise. Okay, so you can get a sneak peek of what's going to happen in the coming years by studying the parashas Nitzavim Vayelech, Hazinu and Mezos
HaBracha. Hazinu, a lot of music in the world.
A lot of good things happening. Okay, so let's see. So again, so says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, take a look. So we know, he says, that the Boker, we had numerous opportunities to bring in the morning, right? Again, every 1,000 year period has night and day. We could have turned those days into Mashiach. V'hu Omra, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Heyei Zro'am Libikarim. Heyei Zro'am Libikarim. Plural. Libbeiz Bikarim. Liboker Beiz, Imlo Liboker Aleph. What does that mean? means if you don't bring Mashiach in the year 4500, let's try to bring Mashiach in the year 5500. If they didn't bring Mashiach in the 8th century, so he says, let's bring Mashiach in the 18th century. Let's bring it in the year 1740. He's writing in 1740. Let's bring Mashiach now. B'lezeh Amar, and therefore the Pasuk says, coming back now to our Pesukim, that the Eish is Tamid Tukar Al Mizbeach. You're bringing this Karbanos, Al Mokta, Al Mizbeach, Kol Halayla, Ad HaBoker. He says, Ad HaBoker HaYadua, Shehu Beis, V'lo Boker HaBarishon Begalus. He says, as opposed to the first Boker, it didn't work out. So now he says, our Boker is HaBoker. He Malish believes.
Wow.
He's saying, this right now, 1740 is HaBoker. This is it. Get yourselves ready. And he himself packed his bags and went to Yerushalayim, which is a pretty serious way of saying that I'm ready to make this happen for real. V'ulai ki lezeh ramas ha-navi ba'omro, and this could be what the Navi is hinting to, when the Navi says in Yeshaya, Amar shomer asa boker v'gam laila. Perish, hagam sh'asa boker rishon lo ha'il. The Navi says there's going to be a boker, but it's not going to work. V'gam laila, there's going to be another laila. V'vagam kin ha-laila achrav, ki lo noshanu bo, because we didn't pull it off in the year 4500 by the Jewish calendar. V'ulai ki ilu Yisrael hayu shleim hayu negalim ba'boker rishon. And of course, like any tzaddik will say, when we had predictions of times for Mashiach, it doesn't mean that the times were wrong. It means that we weren't yet ready. Had we been more shalem, Mashiach would have come in the 1200s, like the Rambam said. It would have come in the whenevers, all the dates, right? 1913, the Malbim says 1913. You know what we got instead? World War I. Told us Yaakov Yosef, the first Hasidic work ever published, the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. You know when he says Mashiach's coming? 1941. You know what we got instead? World War II. Big things are happening in the world. The dates are never wrong. It's just a question of, are we going to turn it into what it's supposed to be, or are we going to allow it to turn into more Chorban and more missed opportunities and more upheaval with potential for something great, and then it doesn't happen. Okay? Okay. Let's keep going. Even if we don't get to see the second piece of Or HaChaim today, it's kedai to learn this piece all the way through. Let's keep going. V'hu masha ramos b'divrayim shelo nigzar al Yisrael golis el yom echad. And now we understand, from the time of Chorban Bayis Sheni, we could have pulled it all off in one day. In that next 1,000-year period, we could have brought the Gula. That's why the Pasuk says, Yantcha Hashem b'yom tzara. So you laugh, yom tzara. Halavai yom tzara. It's been thousands of years of tzara. Biyom means a yom in Hashem's eyes. A yom is 1,000 years. So within that 1,000-year period, we could have for sure wrapped it up. We pushed it off, and now we're holding in the second 1,000 years. Right? 1,949 years since Bayis Sheni. That's our fault. Perish yom shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo nisharim ela tafresh ayin beiz. Sheim ekev shenisharu me'elef hadalid. V'taf kuf she'elef hay. He says, we could have brought Mashiach in the year 4500. The last 172 years since Chorban Bayis Sheni, 3828, to finish off that fourth millennia. And then what? The first 500 years of nighttime of the fifth millennia. By 4500, we could have brought the Gula. In the 700s, by the English calendar, we could have brought the Gula. But we didn't. So we need another 1,000 years to work things out. So he says, now it's 1740. Let's make it happen now. Hare tafresh ayin beiz v'bokaro hayunigalim. V'litzad ma'aseim ha-ra'im ike v'yied boker beiz. But because of our failures, we needed to wait for the second possibility of mourning. V'lezen iskavin ba'omro Hashem chaneinu l'cha kivinu. Perish kivinu lios ha-geula b'boker aleph. We hope to have the geula by the first boker. Shelo la'akiv at boker beiz. We didn't want to wait for the second one. Elal kolpanim heyezroam l'bekarim. But at the very least, if it takes a second boker to pull it off, fine. Let's make it happen then. Because we can't wait for a third boker. That's why the Gemara says, by 6,000, this has to be over. We can't do another round of 1,000. The world, there's no way. You look at the world today. There's no way we could hold on and do another round of night, another round of day. We have to make it happen. By 6,000, we have to have... That's what Chazal said. By 6,000, it has to be over. The world can only last 6,000. Yeah, it seems like we're crashing and burning here. But by 6,000, we'll have to go. So now we come back to Klais. Okay, we got through the hard part with all the numbers there. I told you, it's not easy to follow his cheshbonos here. It took me a long time to just figure out what on earth he's talking about. But now we come back to, let's go back to what our avod is. When the boker arrives, right, what does the pasuk say? It burns all night, ad ha-boker, ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukar bo. What fire is that describing? The esh is describing the what? Te'eshan af Hashem, ve'esh mi-piv tochal, al asher inunu b'nei avla, v'yisrunu b'yisrui nekama. The fire that's described after the boker is Hashem's wrath taking revenge against those who abused us. And now we start to describe the Yeshua. Listen to how he describes it. Ubiprad b'nei ha-maharav ha-pnimi. What a call out. You know he could have lost his life for writing this? Ubiprad, especially the b'nei ha-maharav ha-pnimi. Those who are the inner Westerners. Who are the inner Westerners? Where is he describing? What's he describing? Where is he located and what's he describing? Is he describing the Christians who are abusive to the Jews? Is he describing the Yishma'elim, who he's going to call out even more clearly in the next paragraph? Okay? But he's describing the Christians at this point more than he's describing the Yishma'elim. I think that's who he's referring to, the B'nai HaMarav. Right? The West. What we call the West.
Maybe he calls them that because they're Arab route.
Maybe. Maybe. Right. Marav. The Arab route. Look what he says. Ein lecha kos mar shelo hitimu tamid. There has never been a bitter coast that we've had to drink from so long. The Christians abuse us. The Ishmaelim abuse us. But it doesn't matter who it is. Everyone abuses us. V'hu omro ve'esh ha-mizbeach. Sherimazanu bo b'chinas ha-yisura me'umos. Ve'esh ha-mizbeach. The suffering at the hands of the nations. V'lo richam libam la'shar hika Hashem ze yamim. They didn't have mercy. Was it not enough that Hashem beat us up and exiled us? That they have to continuously abuse us? They know that we're not in our homeland. So just leave us alone. We've got enough problems. And yet, they continue to take advantage of us wherever we find ourselves. V'hishpil ga'on Yaakov. And they continue to drag down the ga'on, the strength and pride of Yaakov, the Jewish people. V'lo nahag bam b'chinas de'ra'on. Lomar, dei ra'os elyone elyonim lamata mata. They're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. They want to take us from the heights to lower and lower and lower. Eish mizbeach ze tukad bo. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the morning comes, is going to take revenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that all of our suffering is atoned for, and all of the kama is met. B'nelam ha-ne'elamim ki hu ha-mekane v'lovesh kina. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's been behind the scenes the whole time, is going to gird himself with what? With anger towards the nations. V'ramaz gam kein ba'omro ve'esh ha-mizbeach l'b'chinas ha-kedas Yitzchak. The Eish HaMizbeach also, he throws in here as a reference back to Akedas Yitzchak. Ki HaMizbeach Yagid al B'chinas Hadin, Ki Yisoru Hadinam V'Yisgabru, V'hu Sod Omru Tukad Bo V'Havein. He says there's a secret here in these words, Tukad Bo. Tukad is the Melashon Akeda he's hinting to. And I'm not sure if he's saying that there's going to be other Akedas Yitzchaks, other Jews who are going to die along the way and have to have their blood avenged. But the bottom line is, he's saying Hashem's wrath is going to come on that morning, the morning of Gula. V'lavash ha-kohen mido bad. And the kohen is going to put on his linen clothing. What does that mean? Yirtza l'midas ha-chesed. Kohen alludes to the mida of chesed. V'rachamim. Ki yiskana b'shem kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the kohen, who dresses himself in what? In mido bad. He measures himself in what? In linen clothing. What does that mean? Hakavana shegama chasadim yaskimu linkom nakam. That even the midah of chesed is going to agree to punish the enemies of the Jews. If you remember, he says, as I mentioned to you in Parshas Va'era. Do you remember Parshas Va'era? When it said, Vayadaber Elokim al Moshe v'yomer elav ani Hashem? That even the Hashem, even Yudkei Vavkei, says the Egyptians have to pay for their crimes. So to hear Hashem as the Kohen, he's bringing chesed to Klal Yisrael. The midah of chesed is going to afflict the Egyptians. That's how bad they are. That even the tzad ha-chesed has no rachmanis on them for all that they've done to us. And again, not just the Egyptians, the world. V'yomer elav ani Hashem. V'omro mido bad yisbar al derech omram. He says perhaps mido bad what is this garment that Hashem is wearing? I mean, the Kohen is wearing V'lavash HaKohen Midobad. The Kohen wears, what? A fitted shirt made out of linen. That's very nice. What's Hashem wearing? I'll never forget the first time I heard this Maimer Chazal. He's about to quote a Maimer Chazal, I remember. I was listening to the Mashpia on my phone from a great distance, one year on Tisha B'Av. I was in camp at the time, and I was listening over the phone. It was being, you could call in. And I remember the Mashpia so passionately shared this medrash that he's about. What is this garment that Hashem is going to wear? Hashem malach kayus lavesh. What is the garment that Hashem wears when he takes revenge against the enemies of the Jewish people? And the Mashpia, who we know always talks very personally about the Holocaust and his own parents suffering in the war, he says the following. Listen to what the medrash says. Al derech omram, ki kol nefesh shaharyim ha'umos mi Yisrael. Every Jew who has ever died on al kiddush Hashem. Every Jew, shaharyim ha'umos mi Yisrael al kiddush shemo yisbarach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu roshem midamo tzuras hanerag ahu b'malbush. Hashem takes that person and he makes a reshima, a marking from his blood, from the tzur, right, from the one who's been killed, he makes it into a garment. Anyone who ever died al kiddush Hashem, something about them is somehow woven into a garment. Hashem has a garment that's made out of every Jew who ever died al kiddush Hashem, made of millions of souls by the Holocaust, made of millions of others throughout Jewish history. Hashem wears this garment of nekama. When Hashem goes to take revenge, can you get me a Mikras Gedolas Devar, please?
Yeah.
Thanks. Hashem wears this garment made again out of the tzura of those who've been killed, out of the blood of those who've been killed. Ve'oso yilbosh yom nakam belibo. And when Hashem comes to take revenge of the world, Hashem is going to show each Jew who died in the Holocaust, your blood was not spilled in vain. He's going to wear a garment made out of all of that Jewish suffering. Hu omro mido, asher bo osam shehem bad shehem Yisrael, asher heim am levadad yishkon visharsha bad. The garment made out of bad, out of linen. Bad, he says, sounds like lavad. A Jew who's what? Alone in the world. As the pasuk says by Balak, am levadad yishkon. So Hashem shows us that all of our loneliness, all of our suffering, all of our sacrifice, thank you, is what? Is making this magnificent garment that Hashem is going to wear at the moment of revenge. Gam yirmoz ala achtus, sheheim neharagim, ala sher lo yichbetu lishatef shem shamayim v'davar acher, umiyachtim shemo yizbarach. It also alludes to bad. What else does bad mean? Bad means alone. It means we're alone from the nations of the world. The world hates us, so we're forced to be alone in that sense. But in what other way are we alone? In what other way are we alone? We're alone in the sense that the Jewish people pulled together. The Jews went singing together, right? Achenu, into the gas chambers. That there was a sense of achdus that the Neharagim had, that they refused to what? As they pulled together as Jews, they refused to take on anything else. What does that mean? How many Jews died because of what? Look what he says here. Lo yachbetu l'shatef shem shemayim. Shituf. What is shituf? The Trinity. Jews who gave their lives rather than believe that God is anything other than Echad. Jews don't believe in shituf. We don't believe in multiple gods or a multiplicity of a God. Yeah, Rav Shechter always likes to tell something he saw as a kid. Whenever Rav Shechter talks about, you know, how the Christians believe in a three-part God. Rav Shechter said that he remembers how when he was a kid, he saw a comic strip that there was a priest teaching mathematics, right, in school. And the priest was writing on the blackboard, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. That's what the priest thought. That's what the Christians believe. Right? There's the Father, there's God, and there's the Holy Ghost. And somehow that's all one. What do you mean? There's three parts which are one? We believe that one means one. 1 = 1, not 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. We believe that 1 = 1. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So he says Jews were bad. With their commitment to the oneness of Hashem, and the commitments of the Achdus to one another, they gave up their lives. They sacrificed their lives. Now let's just pause here for 1 second. I want to just show you what the Mashpia shared on that Tisha B'Av years ago. It's a Dasa Kanim of the Bali Atosos and Parshas Hazina. You'll remember this one. I remember hearing it from him. I remember the way he shared this. Because the Pesukim describe, you know this Pesuk, we say it every Shabbos. When we say, right, we say Avarachamim, and we say a little tefillah right before Musaf, to remember those who've died al Kiddush Hashem throughout the generations. Pesuk says in Azinu, Harninu goyim amo, kidam avadav yikom. V'nakam yashiv letzarav, v'chiper ad maso amo. Yeah? Says the Das HaKenim of the Baalei Tosfos, this is in Parshas Hazinu. Pasuk says again, Harninu goyim amo. Look what it says here. He says, Oz yishmuchu ha'umos liYisrael, she'im amo shel HaKadosh Baruch. The nations are going to be forced to praise Klal Yisrael. For every time we called you a dirty Jew and beat you up, we're going to say you're the chosen people. V'yomru, and they're going to say about Klal Yisrael, you are the chosen ones. Yeah? And the pasuk goes on and says, Kidam avadav yikom. V'nakam yashiv litzarav. What does that mean? Sheyishfoch damam. That Hashem says, I'm going to spill your blood now, nations of the world, for every Jewish bit of blood that you spill throughout the generations. Kamo sheshafchu dam shel Yisrael. As the pasuk says, Yadin bagayim malei gevios. What does malei gevios mean? Full of corpses. Full of whose corpses? Hashem's taking revenge, but you know what corpses are going to come to take that revenge? And now it goes on to describe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'yomer le'umos, lama shafachtem daman shel Yisrael. Hashem's going to say to the nations of the world, why did you kill so many innocent Jews? How do you explain yourself smashing babies' heads in the Holocaust? Stuffing old Jews, men, women, and children into gas chambers. How do you explain that, says Hashem to the nations? Ve'im yirtzu lichbor shelo asu kach. They'll say, we never did that. You know, the Nazis tried to cover everything up at the end of the war. Tried to destroy, right, to remove all of the evidence, which they themselves had been collecting throughout. Because they were hoping, you know, we'll be able to make museums to show our strength. But now they realized things were slipping away. They tried to deny things, to cover it up, to change the numbers, to destroy the factories where the Jews had worked and had died. So Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to them at the end of the days, and Hashem says, why did you kill my beloved children? How do you explain yourself? And the nations are going to say, what are you talking about? V'Kadosh Baruch Hu mar lehem malbushav. And Hashem's going to say, do you see the garment that I'm wearing? It is malei gevios. It is filled with corpses. Every Jewish soul that suffered is going to come with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shu malei gevios. Perish gufei hakedoshim. V'lo yuchlu lichpor. Hashem's going to pass before the eyes of the Gentiles, nations of the world, every Jew, whoever suffered at their hands. V'oz yadin l'chol echad kedin sh'as l'Yisrael. And then every bit of Jewish blood will be avenged. It sounds gory, it sounds graphic. Exactly what that means, a bloodbath at the end of the days, I don't know. But what it means, in terms of not the nechama, which is important also, but the nechama, which Rashbiya spoke about on a different Tisha B'Av, the relationship between the Kama and the Chama. But in terms of the Nechama for us, we should know that our suffering is not in vain. And that's what the Or HaChaim in the year 1740 wants Klal Yisrael to know. That you should realize that every time you became a Mizbeach Kapara, it was Kapara. And you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping score. And you shouldn't feel that your death is in vain. The unity of the martyrs, he says, to cling to the unity of God, and to not, Chas V'Shalom, abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says is a very, very important thing. Okay, there's a lot more here. I'll just tell you, I'll summarize outside. He says a few lines later, he says, Galus Yishmal is the worst galus of all. He says it in Mefurash. A few lines down, he says, at least in Mitzrayim they gave us food. He's describing again the poverty, the suffering of Jews in his time. He says, in Mitzrayim they gave us food. Zacharnu asadaga. Right? When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they said, don't you remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim? The vegetables that they served us? The matzah that they fed us. He says, in this exile, they take Jews hostages, they ransom us for money, they take exorbitant taxes, money that we don't even have to pay. And therefore, continues the pasuk, Vehirim es hadeshem, lift up the ashes. That's much more real after the 1940s than the Or HaChaim could ever have imagined. Anyone who's ever had the opportunity, the tragic opportunity, to go to some of the places where, and to see the ashes of Klal Yisrael, you understand, Harama Sadeshin, Truma Sadeshin in a different way. Ve'irima Sadeshin, Midavin, Hashem, lift up our ashes. The destroyed, the Chorban of Klal Yisrael, lift up those ashes. Restore those ashes. Tchias HaMesim. He goes on and he quotes the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Why are the enemies of the Jews punished in Mitzrayim? Was it like the Ravid says, that they went too far? Or is it like the Rambam says, the very fact that they got involved at all? Hashem never said that the Egyptians should be the ones to punish us. Hashem never said who has to be the one. Bris ben Masorim, what do you mean? You said the Jews are going to be enslaved. I didn't say you, Mitzrayim. You're going to be punished for that. The Ravid says, someone's got to do it. That's not why the Egyptians are punished. They got punished because they went too far. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the great defender of the Jewish people, I paskin both. They went too far and they shouldn't have gotten involved. And they're going to answer for both. The fact that they went too far shows that they didn't get involved to fulfill the Bris ben Masorim. They didn't get involved. Oh, good. God said the Jews have to be slaves, so we'll take care of that. If you're going to take care of it, then do it in a way that God wants you to do it. The fact that you abused us to such a degree shows that you're not lishma, and therefore what? You're going to answer both for enslaving us, for abusing us, and you're going to be doubly punished for the way that you abused us. That you abused us in a way that was cruel and unusual. And then he goes on and he says, then what happens after Hayrim is Hadeshen? What happens? He takes Hotzas Hadeshen. The ashes go out. To where? To a Makum Tahor. And he says so beautifully, Hashem, take us out. Take us to Eretz Yisrael. Take us to the only place that's truly Tahor. Because all of Chutz La'aretz is Tameh. Take us to the true Makum Tahor, he says here. It's painful for those of us who are not yet living in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ein lecha makum sheikare tar zulas Eretz HaKadosha. You can have the biggest yeshivas, you can have the best Jewish restaurants, mikvahs, schools, yeshivos, yeah? Shuls, bursting at the seams. It's beautiful. No, it's not. It's still Eretz Tameh. We're all in Eretz Tameh right now. And there's only one Makum Tahor, and that's Eretz Yisrael. He says Makum Tahor, of course, also means Hashem is Makom Moshal Olam. Makum Tahor, Hashem, bring us to your purity. Take us in your arms. Cradle us in your arms and bring us back. And bring that geula. And again, he ends by saying that Amir Hashem, we should be zochet to see that geula. Again, we've been learning for a long time. There's a lot more here. The other piece, I'll just tell you where it is, so you can have a chance to look at it. It's very kedai to see. The last piece in Perek Zayin. At the end of Perek Zayin, it says, Zos Toras, Zos HaTorah Le'ola. Zos HaTorah Lechatas. The Gemara in Menachos says, a person who learns about the Karbanos is as if you brought the Karbanos. So the Rachayim goes off on a long piece explaining the chashivas of learning Torah. How when you learn Torah, you're lifting up the sparks, the very Kabbalistic piece. He talks about the nitzotos, two types of nitzotos. The nitzotos that have always been needing tikkun, and the nitzotos that come about from asham, from our guilt, things that we've ruined in this world, going back to Adam HaRishon, and how Torah fixes everything. How Torah is the way that we emerge. Torah is the way that we shech the Yitzhara, the Gemara in Sukkah at the end of days. That's the carbon that we're looking to bring. And after that, after we bring those carbonos, we brought the carbon shlamim. By Shechli Nei Tzahara, we have shlemus in our life, and we have the gula shlema that we all talk about. So it's again, it's a deep piece. It's a very deep piece. It's Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. But he talks about Shechli Nei Tzahara. He said, what does it mean to Shechli Nei Tzahara? How do you Shechli Nei Tzahara? Yitzhar is a malach. How do you Shech the malach? You Shech the malach by taking back all the nitzotzos. A malach sustains itself by holy sparks that he's taken away from us. When we learn Torah, we gather all those sparks. We pull Jews back together, lost Jews, lost pieces of Torah, broken things in the world. Through Torah, he writes very strongly, we lift up everything, and then we bring the Zevach HaShlam. Then we shech the Yitzhara, we have the Gula Shlem. So Mir Tzashem, very important pieces to think about coming into the Yom Tov of Pesach. That a Jew should be able to come to the Seder, and a Jew should be able to hope with the same hopefulness that Rachaim HaKadosh. We could become very depressed by this piece. He wanted it so bad, and he didn't get it. What makes us think we're going to get it? But like Rav Kluger taught us, we have to just keep believing. Even the more impossible it becomes, the more it's similar to what they had in Mitzrayim. There was no way out of Mitzrayim, and they got out. So Mir Tzashem, we should be Zocha, to Shech the Yitzhar once and for all, through our commitment to Torah. And we should be zochet to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu avenges the blood of Klal Yisrael and takes us to Yerushalayim, the true Makom Tahor, with the Gula Shlema b'mheira b'yameinu. Shkayach. Not easy pieces, but shkayach. Thanks for sticking it out.